Hi, welcome to another episode of Forensic Forecast. I'm Lee. This is Simon.
Hello.
How are you doing, Simon?
I'm doing very well.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. And also today we have a special guest, author of Drive Profit and a few other projects that we're going to talk about today. Say hello to Mark McKinnon. How are you doing, Mark?
Hi.
Everything okay?
Everything's great. I'm glad to be on the show.
Fantastic. Well, glad to have you. Been talking to Mark for a few weeks now about Drive Profit, and like I said, there's something else we're going to talk about a little bit later on as well, which is of great interest. And he's agreed to be on the show, and we're happy for it. It's going to be fun, and hopefully the first of many guests, and who knows, maybe the first of many appearances for Mark as well, if it goes well enough this week. So, okay, I guess we'll talk about Drive Profit then. First question, what does it do?
Drive Profit is an automation tool. It does triage of a hard drive. What it does is it goes against a mounted volume. Now, the mounted volume could be through a write blocker, or it could be through Mount Image Pro, VMware, anything that can mount a DD image, or the drive itself. Then what it does is it scans the drive and pulls back a lot of information and stores that, and then produces reports from that information. Right now, I think there's about 36, 37 reports that it will produce. It allows you to pick those reports to output, and outputs it to HTML at this point. And then you can take those reports and use them to interview somebody, stepping off point for your investigation, a whole slew of things. I mean, whatever you can imagine it can to do with the data, you can do it.
Okay, so having used it myself, it's a very impressive piece of software. And I mean, some of the information that it pulls out, it, to me, is, you know, basically, like you said, it's a platform from which to launch your full investigation. I mean, you can see straight off all the things that it pulls from the registry. I mean, just give us a few examples of some of the things which Drive Profit extracts from this mounted volume.
It extracts Google or searches. There's four search engines that will show you which ones it did. I think it's ask.com, Google, Excite, and I can't remember the fourth one off the top of my head. It'll do those. It'll do some of the most recently used. It will give you a listing of all the link files, PDFs, docs, Excel spreadsheets. It will show you the programs that are installed on the computer. It will show you programs that have run. An interesting report that I like is it will show you programs that are run that are not on, were found on the drive.
Oh, that's interesting.
So if somebody had a thumb drive that they plugged in and ran it, a program, let's say portable apps or something to that effect, that will show up on that report as not being on the drive.
Wow, that's, I'd never noticed that when I was having a look at it, to be honest. But I mean, that makes perfect sense, because how many people are actually going to, well, look for something like that just out of a habit? It's probably something I wouldn't consider to do, to be perfectly honest.
Right. Let me look to see what other... I keep forgetting which ones are on there. It's portable USB devices, owner information...
Well, see, just going back quickly to the USB devices, I mean, if you go into someone's property and you use Drive Profit there and then to extract the data, you then know instantly whether you have to look for any more devices, don't you? You don't have to wait until you've taken the computer back to the lab and you've run the analysis and everything like that.
That is correct.
You can look there and then. I mean, if you've got an iPod, it'll say on this report an iPod was plugged into this computer.
That is correct.
So you know to look for it at that property.
Yes. Yep.
See, that to me sounds like something that's really useful, because I've done a number of investigations where I've found entries, I've found references to files that weren't there and that were actually on some other kind of removable media or something that, that wasn't actually submitted for examination. And so I've had to go back to the person in charge of the investigation and say, I think we're missing something here.
Yep.
That's really cool. I mean, that's a fantastic feature of it. But, yeah, I mean, go on. Sorry, I interrupted you before.
That's okay. I'll just go down some list of all users on the system, computer owner information, schedule tasks, list all mount points on the system, startup and shutdown times, IP address assigned to computer, number of times computer normally shut down, list of programs based on the programs file directory, last programs that have been run and the number of times run, software installed according to the registry, recently accessed files on the desktop, last search terms from the search assistant. I'm just going to skip a few of them right here. Programs that have been run, executed from user's temp directory. Another interesting one is applications to look for. I've put together a small database that has applications, for example, wiping programs, peer-to-peer, those type of things. And it will show up, it does a scan, and after it's done the scan of all the files, it will then produce this report that will show you if any of these applications are on the system.
That's fantastic.
So you know right away that instead of having to go look in, I mean, sometimes some of these wipers, for example, I mean, you don't have a clue what they are because you've never even seen them before. But this one will tell you that, oh, we got one right here, or we got peer-to-peer, or we got whatever else we define to it. And it's in the future release, that whole database will be user-definable, and there'll be data entry forms for it so that we can users of the system can then input their own. Right now it's controlled through me just because I didn't get that far on the software. I kind of put a stick in the ground of what was going to be in this version, because I felt if I didn't do that, I'd be like another FTK.
It would just go on forever.
Yeah, exactly. Not to slam FTK or anything, but, you know.
We wouldn't dream of doing such a thing.
I don't think we've done that before, have we?
No.
There's a list of all the directories that contain JPEGs, so if you're running a CP case, for example, or a KP case, whatever you guys call it, you could look and see, quickly scan which directories have JPEG files in it. And especially if you were on scene and you ran this, there was a individual that was doing some testing for me, and he ran it on scene, and they were at doing like a knock and talk at somebody who was suspected of CP, and showed him the directory, and he confessed to having child porn.
To be honest, right? I mean, this is a fantastic little program that you have running here. The potential for first responders and the like is quite significant, and to be able to, I mean, how long does it usually take to, like, if you give us some times of how long you would take over an average size hard drive, how long it takes to run the program, do you think?
I have a hard drive that I've really bastardized the hell out of. I mean, I install anything and everything on it, and, you know, it's kind of really slow now because I do that type of stuff. And it's just a test computer, and I think it had 140,000 files on it. It's a 40-gig hard drive, and it was about 35 to 36 gig used. And drive profit from start to finish, about 15 minutes.
So, you know, usually, I mean, I don't know how long it takes the average person to do like a full investigation, for example. But there's been times when we've got cases in through the door. They've said, right, we need you to have a look at this, and tell us within a day of some of the stuff that you find. If you didn't run this software on Drive Profit at the scene, you've almost cut out all of the junk in the middle, haven't you? You could sit there, and rather than bailing the person and then them having to come back at a later time for an interview, you could run it there and then. You know, 15 minutes, like you say, later, you come back and you say, right, this is what we've got off your computer. We want answers for this, 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 and this. And, you know, that, like you said, with that child porn case, I mean, that's... To be able to talk to someone there and then and possibly get a confession out of them because of something, just a small program that you've run which took, you know, hardly any time at all, rather than seizing the computer and sending it away for processing and all the cost involved with that, in my opinion here, you've created something that's just fantastic.
Right. In that case, I think they had like 20 hours of allocated time to it for overtime.
Yep.
That they had budgeted to it, and they didn't use any of it. So, I mean, this program helped save time, money, and got a confession. I don't know, like here, they have to do preliminary hearings.
Yep.
Within so many days after the arrest, well, you can have this data for the preliminary hearing as well. So you can give it to your prosecutors. I mean, I'm talking all law enforcement here, so
yeah.
Which it doesn't necessarily have to be law enforcement. You could do it in the corporate world too. But you could give this to your prosecutor, and they can have this before they do the preliminary hearing and show this to the judge and say when they want bail or whatever, you can say, okay, here's what we have. Here's our proof right here for right now. Now, I will say this. This does not say that you do not have to do a forensic examination. There will be times when you will have to do a forensic examination, or this may not find stuff. That's the other thing. You know, this isn't a perfect piece of software. It's going on the information that's on the computer.
Yeah.
So, you know, you still should probably end up doing a forensic exam on some of these, unless you can get them to confess.
Yeah, well, it's not designed as a replacement for a full examination, though, is it?
No, it is not.
I mean, there are appropriate times and places where you would use it, but then there's other times where you would use it just simply as a springboard to do a full investigation.
Correct.
Cool. What made you come up with this idea in the first place? I mean, was it something which you experienced personally, or just something that you'd heard from somebody else, or, you know, where did you get the idea?
I like to automate things. It makes life a lot easier when you can automate certain things. And my wife is a police officer. She was a detective. She did at one point did financial crimes. Well, they don't have their own forensic examiner. They had to take it to the state police. Well, the state police financial crimes don't get a priority, obviously, because child porn and those take up the priorities, which is understandable.
Yeah.
But they just, you know, you can't really get a fraud case touched. And so I thought, well, you know, there's got to be something that they could do to, you know, come up with, at least give them something, you know, okay, what programs were on this, on the PC, for example, were there programs that were used to write checks? Were there, you know, programs for bookkeeping or, you know, there's something. It can't be, you know, you have to wait a year or more to get the thing looked at. And that's where I came up with, you know, I just kept it in the back of my mind of doing it. And at some point I decided, yeah, I'm going to, and here it is.
Very cool. I don't know how it works over in the States with like all the, like you said, child porn cases take priority, but I know that a lot of police forces over here, for example, have probably got massive backlogs of you know, probably a year to 2 years worth of cases, and that, you know, that's probably a kind way of saying it. Probably some of them probably have a much larger backlog than that, but you've also got other things for Drive Profit as well, which can handle large amounts of backlog.
Yes, it's another add-on little piece. It runs everything of Profit, and I call it Backlog Breaker. What it allows you to do is, if you can mount multiple DD images or drives, like MNOPQR, for example, you can then use Backlog Breaker to set those up and then run them all at once. And it will run them sequentially, and then you'll have, let's say, 5 cases processed through Profit, Drive Profit. And then you can then take those and whatever you want to do with the information, you can do. It'll print all, display all the reports and that you choose, and you can then pick up stuff and pick up the directories and send them to your investigators or what have you. And let's say you get 5 computers, you know, today, and they want them, you know, done right away. Well, you can use this as a springboard here for, and do them all at once, and then give those back to the investigator as well. Couple things I didn't touch on that don't automatically run. There's one that will produce thumbnails, all the thumbnails on the computer. There's another one that will do the thumb cache, and that's based on the thumb cache program I wrote as well. It's the exact same thing as that. The other one is it will pull out all the EXIF information, not all of it, but a subset of the EXIF information, and print a report with that with the picture as well. So if you're looking for somebody that maybe was producing child porn or something like that, you can run this and it will pick up certain metadata, for example, camera model, camera make, camera software, and if that exists for any JPEGs, and I think PNGs as well, no, JPEGs, it will then put those in a report and show you. So you can get that information right away as well.
So you can know within 15 minutes of sitting down at someone's computer, you know, whether they are effectively responsible for the pictures which are sitting on the machine.
Right. Well, hopefully 15 minutes, but depending on how many pictures they have, I don't
know. Yeah, I mean, thereabouts, yeah. But, I mean, obviously, as you get into larger hard drive sizes and how much data is on there and stuff, the time will go up. But I think the largest amount of time that I've seen it take, when I've been using it, is probably around about 40 minutes. So, it's very good, and it's something which is it at full release yet, or are you still working on it, aren't you?
It's at the final stages of beta. I have some people testing it, and the only thing left I have to do is put together a user documentation, and I was going to put a quick start guide, and then put a little blurbs in there of where I got some of the reports from which registry keys and that type of thing. Other than that, it's more or less ready to go as far as I'm concerned. I'm just waiting to hear back. I'm hoping by the end of the month that it will be ready for general public.
Fantastic. And something that we've talked about previously is that you see Drive Profit being like a modular piece of software as well, even.
Yes. With the reporting, I mean, there's certain things that it'll automatically do. It has to do no matter what. You know, get a listing of the files and the directories. It reads the registry. It always has to do that. But the modular approach comes in when you want the reports. If you only want, for example, let's say your subpoena, you got a subpoena and it only goes for certain areas. Well, if you run everything, it may pull back information that doesn't fall under that subpoena. So now you're in a quandary here where you have information that doesn't fall in under the subpoena. But with the being able to get the checkboxes for the reports to run, you can not produce those reports. So you can say, and it keeps a log and everything of what reports you run, how long it took to run each piece, and so on and so forth. And so you can say, okay, I didn't run those pieces. I could have, but I did not. So, I followed the letter of my subpoena.
That's really cool. The whole thing is quite extraordinary. But let's see. As far as like the modular side of things go, you've also hinted at the fact that you might add in like other bits and pieces as you go along.
Oh yeah, like, that's the whole thing is once I'm done doing what producing at least this portion, I'm feeling I'm going to get a lot of user requests on, well, can you add this? Can you add that? And then it will be evaluated on what gets added. And, everything's changing. For example, Google Chrome came out this week. I don't have it in there yet. That'll be another piece that has to be added. Opera's not in there for browsers. Looking at the Firefox, I don't do the cookies for Firefox yet. I don't, there's certain things I don't do yet, but they will be added in eventually.
Yep.
And it's just going to take time to get there. And because like I said, I wanted to be able to put a stake in the ground and say, okay, this is what we have so far. It's out there, and now we're going to add on to it.
Okay. So are you going to remain the main person for creating these, quote unquote modules for it, or is there a possibility that other people may actually have the opportunity to write these kinds of modules themselves?
At this point, it'll just be me.
Okay.
And in the future, we'll see what happens in the future. We'll see if people like it and want to use it. You never know. Stranger things have happened.
No, it sounds good. I know that aside from Drive Profit, you've also have a few other projects running on. And one thing that you've shared with me before is the Skype log parser as well.
Yes, that one's kind of interesting. If you look at some of the programs that parse the Skype chat logs, that's all they do is they parse the Skype chat logs. And there's a lot more information in those logs than just the chats. I mean, for example, we're using Skype right now. And if you were to run my log parser against it, you'd see that there was a phone conversation between the three of us in there. It pulls off, phone logs, files transferred, chat history, who your friends are, and your own information. But if, just with the chats, I'm missing that we had this conversation today. I'd also be missing, let's say I transferred files to you. We'd miss that information. So there's a lot of information that gets missed out there that some of these programs just, they concentrate on the chat aspect, but they don't concentrate on all of it. And that's one of the reasons I did the Skype log parser, is to get all that information.
I know one of the end scripts that I've seen for guidance for Encase, it like you said, it professes to be a Skype log parser, and all it does carve out is the conversations. And like you said, there's so much more information there to carve out. But the one thing that I've noticed specifically about the reporting aspect of it is that the reporting looks very much and is in this very similar fashion to the reporting for Drive Profit. So are we looking at incorporating that back into Drive Profit perhaps, or are you looking to do that separately?
Nope, that will... I'm going to release the Skype parser to, I'm going to put it on my blog and, you know, release that to, because some of the software I put out there, it's free, and you know. So that was be one of them that I put out there, but I will also incorporate that to Drive Profit.
Very nice indeed. Yeah, so Drive Profit, you say you reckon you'll have it out by the end of the month?
That is correct.
If all goes according to plan.
That is correct.
I hope you're touching something wood right now. well, that's great. Well, that's Drive Profit in a nutshell. And where can people go if they want to find out more about it?
If they want to get in on the beta, they can go to my website. It's redwolfcomputerforensics.com, and there is a little menu option on the left-hand side for the beta of Drive Profit. They can go there and click on it and submit the information, and then I'll send them an email with the information, download it, and how to run it, and that thing.
Excellent. Good stuff. Now, there was another reason that we wanted to talk to you today as well. Obviously, Drive Profit is a very good piece of software, and you hinted at it just earlier on. But this last week, Google, out of nowhere, released another new web browser into the whole Browser War series. And
yep.
It's quite amazing, actually. And I mentioned this to you the other day as well, that it came out, was it Thursday or Wednesday or something like that? I think it was Wednesday, wasn't it? It came out, it was released. And within 2 days, you already had written something to pass out a great deal of the information from it.
Yeah, I did. Sometimes I wonder where I have my time, but the old saying goes, idle hands are the devil's workshop. So sometimes I try to keep mine busy. This was one of them. But, the Google Chrome, I mean, that's an interesting browser. They store everything in a SQLite database. And I haven't had that much time to, verify a few things and look at a few things, playing with the browser. But I played with it enough to get some data in there and then, got all the information out that at this point. What it does is it will point it to the directory where those log files are, and it will get the information out of them and put them in profit-like reports. They look exactly like profit, the reports do, so the output anyway. And one of the interesting things I found was that it stores thumbnails of pages that you visited. And it keeps a ranking, or I'm assuming it's a ranking. I have to play further with it and to actually verify it, but which I plan to do. But it looks like it's a ranking of websites, because when you first get into Google Chrome, it gives you, I think it's 6 pictures of websites you visited, and it keeps those thumbnails in the database. Well, I pulled those thumbnails out and produced a report, so then at least you can see what they had in them. That was one of the reports in there. The other one's, okay, history, cookies, bookmarks, downloads, login information. And I do believe that's it. There might be one other one I'm missing, but off the top of my head, I can't remember.
But still, considering, this... Considering the browser was only out for a couple of days before you had a working release of this, that is very impressive. And having had a look at it, the information that comes out of it, even in the early stages of this program, are impressive. That it does cover quite a lot of stuff that you've managed to get out in such a short amount of time.
Well, I will have to give it to Google that they put everything in a database, so it's really running select statements against the database, just looking at the data and trying to correlate it and figure it out. I mean, I'll give Google that they did a good job there, because if it had been like in a binary file, and I would have had to try to parse a binary file and figure that out, yeah, it would have taken me longer. But Google has to take some credit for that, for putting it in the database, SQLite database. So,
yep.
Now I just correlate it and put it out.
And one thing which, I mean, I don't know if any of you two have got an opinion on this, but Google are obviously releasing their phone operating system as well on HTC device, probably by, within the next couple of months. And we know that Google Chrome is based on the WebKit browser, and we also have seen videos and reports saying that the Android web browser is also based on WebKit. So I wonder if if the two aren't going to be too dissimilar, really, if they'll keep the reporting in the same, I call the history and everything else in the same kind of neatly wrapped up package that they have done for Windows. It'd be interesting to see, I think.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Now, one of the interesting things that I did notice as I was looking through it was that it's very similar to the SQLite databases that Mozilla has. I mean, interesting enough that they're, the column names are a little bit different, but they're more or less stating the same thing. Now, the one ugly thing that Google uses, and they're not very standard on how they use it, is they'll either use Microsoft UTC time or Unix Epic time. And it's mixed in there in between which ones they use.
Oh, they use both of them in the same program?
Yeah. Some like, I think it's in the downloads, they use the Unix Epic time, but in the history, they use the Microsoft UTC time.
That's bizarre.
So, yeah, so you have to, you got to do this huge conversion from one. I mean, Unix Epic time is real simple. SQLite handles that without a problem. It doesn't do the Microsoft one. So then you have to put a little bit more calculation into it to output the time. But, yeah, I was kind of disappointed when I saw that, thinking, at least you guys could have, kept it standard across the whole thing, used one or the other.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is it's in beta at the moment, isn't it? So that may be one of the issues that they iron out as they get further or closer towards a full release of the program.
Yeah, but isn't Gmail still beta?
I guess it
will. Not to throw that out there or anything, but...
Well, I think Google have got a habit of bringing things out in beta and then remaining in beta, and I think they just forget that they're in beta and don't actually get onto a full release.
I think it could well be to cover themselves in case anyone say, this thing doesn't work. Well, it's still beta. Don't blame us. You're just testing it.
That's what they got their lawyers for.
Yeah. But I just think it's quite amusing. I mean, I was looking at the Forensic Focus forums, and someone else also brought out a piece of software which parses out the Google Chrome, basically all some of the information which you discussed as well. And I found it quite amusing just that so many people seem to be working on this straight away. And it's just quite impressive, really, that the forensic community has got enough people that are willing to look at something new, dissect it, and have something working within a couple of days in order to help out the entire community. I just think it's quite impressive. But, I think you've done a fantastic job there, Mark. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I have to say that... The whole Drive Profit software, I think it's brilliant idea, and one that undoubtedly will and really should catch on, because I think there's a lot of time weighed on looking at cases where things turn out to be negative. The money spent on getting these things examined could easily have been allocated somewhere else, and tools like this will really help the screening process, and could be a huge benefit.
Well, that's part of the idea behind it, is to, you know, you always have something more important to do, and you can always find something more important to do, and this helps get you to that more important stuff.
Yep.
Now, we have run it, I've been testing with another person, and we have run it against drives that do not have OSs on them either. And it will tell you at the top of the main page that it does not have an OS detected on it. And we were able to use it to, you know, look at some of the contents of the drive. A few things came out of that testing as well that I will be adding in the near future. One will be, you know, a listing of all the files in their directories. And I have yet to decide whether it will actually happen or not, but also a clickable directory tree structure that you can go through and look at. So then you could actually do it right there.
That would you'd almost eliminate a lot of the work which you would need in order to take the thing back to the lab if you incorporated that, I think.
Well, I'm thinking on that is the, you know, you take some of the reports of where, you know, some of the files are, and you use that to click down, and if you pull up the directory structure and click down into it, and so that will be, you know, that will make it into a later release of it. So, but yeah, there's so much more to do with it that, you know, it's kind of hard to wrap your arms around it sometimes. Think, okay, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this, and you say, well, wait a minute, we gotta, you know, make sure that we do it properly. One of the things I think is really important is this thing is fast. It has to be fast. It can't be, and that's why certain pieces were broken out, like the thumb cache, the thumbnails, the EXIF. Those potentially are not fast, depending on how many files you have. So those have been broken out to be extra steps that you have to do. But the main component, in my mind, has to be very fast. It has to be something quick that you can do and get the information. And that was one of my main goals right there, is to get something fast into the hands of somebody else.
Yeah, I think that's quite key, because we see more and more with the latest releases of main forensic software, they seem to require more processing power and more RAM and things to be able to function as quickly as an older version did. And so, generally speaking, you upgrade software and things can just take longer than they did before. So I think speed is certainly a key factor.
I totally agree. And one of the PCs I test mainly on laptops, but it was a Dell D610, has a gig of memory and some Trino processor. So it's probably about 4 years old. So it's not a, you know, brand new dual core, quad core. You know, I'm not testing on those. I'm testing on the older model laptops. So we're getting decent speeds with those. You know, what will we get with, you know, newer laptops?
Yeah.
I think you've caught a little bit of the niche market here, to be honest. Because there are a lot of first responder tools, and you know we've heard about coffee and the like as well over the last few months, but I think the potential for the use of DriveProfit and, you know, all the little bits and pieces that could p- potentially be a part of it, that they're really going to speed up investigations. Like you said before, you know, if you can speed up the time the investigation takes, you save money. And I don't, you know, I know for sure that working with police forces in the UK, they'd be very, very keen on saving money if they could not send out as much to subcontractors, or if the subcontractors would charge less and all that kind of stuff. So you might have quite a universally accepted piece of software, I think.
Yeah, that's, and you know, saving time and money is, you know, that's always a key goal, because you know those are very important to police departments, all organizations. You know, especially with the way the economy is right now, they want to do more with less, and this software allows you to do that.
Fantastic. I wanted to go back to Google Chrome for a second.
Sure.
Now, I know that your software parses out all of the stuff that's there. However, we've also got this other issue with Google Chrome as well. It might be really good at recording information, and it might be exceptional at storing it in such a way that it can be extracted. But we've also got this also potential knockout blow in a incognito mode. And for those people who don't know, basically incognito mode for Google Chrome is you open up the main software, and you can then have the option to open up another window of the software in incognito mode. And what incognito mode means is that none of the information that is displayed in that window, or any information that is typed into that window, is recorded anywhere on your hard drive. So this obviously seems to look like it could pose quite a significant problem for forensic investigators. I mean, there's a similar thing in Safari for both Windows and the Mac. But, you know, with Google behind this, there's a potential that we could look at loads of computers that don't have any history on it relevant to our investigation.
Right. So, there's some, you know, there's a whole, you know, there's some more investigation that has to be done with that, because just quickly playing around with it, I mean, in order to get into incognito mode, you have to just go into the browser to begin with.
Yeah.
And if you go out and look at those log files, the way SQLite works is when you make an update, it usually happens right now, unless you tell it to begin a transaction. Then it will create a journal file. And I have noticed that once you get in there, it locks those SQLite log files and will start journaling. And if you enter incognito mode and then close down the other browser, the other session, so now you only have the incognito up, it still has those files locked. So now I don't know if this is true or not, or, I mean, like I said, there's got to be more investigation done on this, but, you know, I could essentially begin a transaction. He could write all that information to a SQLite log file before, and not write it to the database, and then I could roll that transaction all back. Now, this is just, you know, guessing at what they could be doing behind the scenes. I don't know. I mean, I'll be frankly honest, I haven't gone that deep, and, you know, they could do it, they might not be doing it, but it was kind of suspicious when I saw that, after I had already closed that other window, that he still kept those files, those transaction logs out there, because normally when you get out of it, he'll tell end transaction, and those files go away, because obviously there's no more transaction.
Yep.
So I think there's definitely needs to be some more investigation into that, and seeing if maybe that's what he's doing. I mean, I don't know. But it just from what I had seen real quickly by going into it, he may be doing that. So just one more thing for someone to look at.
Yeah.
Because he's got to store that information somewhere. And
well, yeah, I mean, if you have a session open, obviously you've still got the back and forwards buttons in there and stuff, so it has to store, you know, what, you know, that temporary history somewhere along the line, hasn't it? It can't just dispose of it instantly, because people are going to flick back and forwards through pages and the like.
Right. Now, does it make, and, you know, this is, you know, guessing at what people were thinking, but does it make sense that if they did do, you know, a begin and end transaction, so it's hasn't written it to the database yet, but you still use it? Is that what incognito mode's doing? That it just, instead of doing an end transaction, committing all the data to the database, he just says roll back, and it rolls everything back, and, you know, you would then have to look for these SQLite files in unallocated space. I don't know. I'm just, you know, going through a thought process here. You know, on a programming level side, that would be an easier way to be able to do this than, you know, coming up with something totally off the wall and different just to handle that.
Yeah. I mean, that does make sense for it to be in allocated clusters. And Simon, you were saying how you think there'd be other ways of retrieving that data, didn't you?
Yeah, it really depends on entirely how the information's stored. If the majority of it is stored in RAM, for instance, then there's always the potential that information's been swapped out into a page file, or they've used some kind of hibernation option, and so stuff could be found in a hiber file. It's just there's potential for the traces to be found in different places.
So what I got to do basically is what you said, Mark, you know, the log files and stuff like that, transaction files, just basically, potentially for now, until we have a better solution, maybe look for these files and, like the headers for these particular files through, you know, unallocated space, the page file and the hiber file, and if we encounter a live machine, even across live RAM, and just see if those files happen to appear anywhere.
Yep. And, you know, that's where, you know, your incident response becomes very important. You know, how you treat the live system when you get there to get that information. You know, I mean, that's, you know, a lot of conversations have been going on about doing live response, imaging memory, so far within the last year. And now coming out with, you know, this incognito mode, that definitely becomes very important to be able to do that, have your procedures in place and everything, so when you're on scene you can, you know, do that, because that would really suck if you got it back and said, oh, there's no browser history, why is that? You know, oh, he's probably using the incognito mode. Well, okay, now I only have, instead of getting RAM now, you know, when I was on the scene, I could have got RAM. Let's say by coffee, for example, it pulls out all that stuff, and, you know, I could have done that. But now, okay, now I'm stuck looking through my page file and my hyper file, maybe, and, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, it's where we have to, you know, expand our horizons, and if we're not doing the incident response type at the scene, we need to start.
Yeah. I mean, the thing which everyone should always remember is that it doesn't matter how good the software is that you use. It doesn't, you know, all the options, it could be Encase, it could be FTK, it could be Drive Profit, it could be Coffee. It doesn't matter. You could run, you know, anything off there. But at the end of the day, it's the person who's doing the incident response or doing the investigation who has to, you know...
Yeah, they have to analyze it.
Yeah, they have to figure out for themselves what they're going to do before they go ahead and do it. And if you're not properly trained, or you don't have the right procedures in place, you could potentially invalidate everything that that you do there.
Or you just miss it all. It can be easy to do if you're not, if you don't have knowledge of certain things.
So, yep, that's fantastic. Well, thanks very much for coming on and talking to us today. We appreciate that.
Thanks for having me. Oh. I appreciate you taking the time to let me talk about these things and get my ideas out there and the software out there. And I appreciate you guys, taking a crack at it and looking at it and giving me the chance to come on the show.
Well, you're welcome back anytime. Just a quick question. You're not related to Gary McKinnon, are you?
No.
You know who he is?
Yes, I know who he is. I'd rather be related to, the Drambuie McKinnons, but hey. Sorry, that's not in the cards either.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on. And if people wanted to see where you are on the web, you've got redwolfforensics.com. And you also
mentioned Computer Forensics.
Good thing you were there. Redwolfcomputerforensics.com. Or you mentioned your blog earlier. And where can they find your blog?
CFED-TTF.blogspot.com. And I have to apologize. I haven't been updating it a lot lately. But I will be throwing out the Skype log parser and the Google Chrome out on it, and then I'll probably throw a blurb out there on about Prophet too. So I've been busy doing Prophet, so I haven't been blogging. So I apologize to my people who were reading it. So that's why I haven't been blogging. So once you see Drive Prophet, hopefully you'll understand.
I'm sure they will. All right. Well, thanks to Mark for coming on this week, and thanks to Simon for his muted appearance.
That's a couple of things.
But and thank you for listening, and we shall talk to you again next week. Oh, wait, before I do that, I just remembered. I've been doing a lot of work this weekend on the website. You may have noticed that the URL has now changed. Instead of it being whitfields.org/forecast, it's now become complicated and become forecast.whitfields.org. This has been so I can add some things. I've added a forum now, but I haven't quite figured out the email on the forum yet. So if you want to join the forum, drop me an email, which is also new, which is another thing I did this weekend, at admin@forensicforecast.com with your name. Basically your name, and I'll sort it. I'll sort something out for you and send email you back with a password. Also, Brandon asked why we don't just change it all to forensicforecast.com. And the simple reason is money. Whitfields.org is paid for. For 2 years, therefore I'm going to get all the use out of that I can before I have to invest in putting up everything on forensicforecast.com. And I tell you, the migration from whitfields.org/forecast to forecast.whitfields.org wasn't very simple either, so I'd prefer not to do that anytime soon in the immediate future either. But it's there, the forum's there. Once you've been approved to join, even you, Luby, will manage to get approved, I'm sure. You go to forecast.whitfields.org/forum, and it's right there. Thanks very much for listening. Hopefully, you found something interesting from this, and go check out Drive Prophet. We shall talk to you soon. Bye from me, and bye from Mark. You still there?
Bye. Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. And bye from Simon.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye.